Ken, awesome. Just real quick before we start, I just want to let everyone know we've got a busy woman's guide to prayer. Forget the guilt and find the gift. There you go. JK. Well, welcome, and it kind of feels awkward to speak into a mic with this. I mean, there's not a ton of people here, but primarily we also want to include people that couldn't be here tonight, and so we're recording this so we can hand this off to other people. And yeah, so hello to all who are listening to this. And real quick, Delia or Ken, can we get that stuff up a bit later? Because I'm going to be a bit distracted by the pictures because I'm going to want to look at all of them. I don't know. I'm competing against Sam Lamb's photography. Joel loses. Again, welcome. This thing has kind of been a crazy thing. If you've been in on the email list, I've sent out a bunch of emails. If you haven't, get your name on the email list. There was no form of discrimination. We just kind of put as many people on the list as we could and said, give it out to people. And so if you're not on the list, please sign up. We've got a sign up list here. We would love to put you on the email list. We want this to be as inclusive as possible. There you have it. My name is Joel, and I help out with the worship and art stuff here. I'm a frustrated artist. At times I swear I was born to do this, and other times I curse the giftings, and I think I have none. And so I think that's kind of where a lot of people find themselves. And so if you're somewhere in that ballpark, you know, welcome. Also, I mean, even just over dinner conversation, you know, like talking, it was just like some of us feel like we're super accomplished, some of us don't, and it's beautiful, you know. We're just kind of here to get together and get to know other people. I want to give you guys all a quick flow for the evening tonight and just kind of explain what we're going to be doing tonight. I want to try to keep it as simple as possible, but also give enough information to you guys so that we can kind of know where we're headed, not just tonight. as far as digital photos go, just kidding. Not just tonight, just as far as like the flow for the evening tonight, but also just what this next month is going to look like. If you don't know what exactly is going on, the basic idea is this. The thought was, what would it look like for a community of artists to respond to the Sermon on the Mount together, you know, individually in their own lives, but also corporately just with other people? What would that look like? And what would that do? And over a few months, we were doing the series in the fall on the Sermon on the Mount. And so there's a bunch of sermons on that here at Bridgeway. And each time during worship and different times, I kept thinking, I'm like, man, it would be so cool if we could do an album based around this, you know, and just write about this. And then even as we thought about it, I was meeting with Chris Clark for breakfast one morning. And Chris goes, bro, there's a reason why nobody's done an album on the Sermon on the Mount. And because it's really intense. It's a really intense passage. It's not, a lot of the stuff is not kosher. Not kosher in the sense of like, I mean, Jesus was totally Jewish. So, I mean, like, well, I'll get into that. Basically, like, you feel like if you talk about some of these things, they're real intense. Some of the things are really intense to talk about. You're addressing issues like lust, adultery, divorce, murder, calling people names, you know, like, it's got the full range. It's like how you take care of yourself, materialism, loving your enemies. Hello. Like this stuff, in some circles is great to talk about, but in others it feels super controversial. And so, I thought artists like to be controversial at times. So, that would be a fun issue to tackle and try to create and try to do that. And so, that's the vision, is basically an artistic exploration of the Sermon on the Mount. How the heck do we do that? I don't know. And that's basically why you guys are here tonight, because I want to explore with you guys this journey of creation and responding. And so tonight, the basic flow that I'd love to do is just give a couple quick pointers as far as like why art and community, why the Sermon on the Mount, and then practically how we're going to walk this out over tonight, the next month, and then just do the response. Like, basically what I'd like to do is spend a little bit of time in prayer, just asking God to prepare our hearts, read the Sermon on the Mount out loud. For those listening, or for those reading, just engage your heart, listen to the words, let them wash over you. And then maybe write down some phrases that stood out. If you are a visual person, open up your Bibles and read them, see them with your own eyes. If you don't have one, we can probably track some down or not, bring them next time. And then I'd love to finish just by praying again after we've heard it and saying, God, thank you for your words. And then for whoever needs to go, you can go. Feel free to go. If anything is sparks in you and you want to create here, create here. Chris and Dustin brought some recording equipment. So if you want to work on some music here tonight, feel free to stick around. If you want to work on visual art stuff, Dela set up some stuff over there. But really, the goal for tonight was merely to begin this whole process of a community responding to God's word. So did that semi make sense? We'll get into the practicals of like, what does the art look like? I'll have some examples for you guys. And that will break down. I think that'll be super helpful because sometimes that's the most helpful stuff is just any questions before we move on? All right. Awesome. And I'll try to be brief on these initial ones because I don't want you guys to be bored. I really do want to get to the main point, which is God's word and us listening and receiving. First off, why art? Because God is the ultimate artist. We have been made. We've been created in his image. Part of his image is he has put his creativity within us to create. Those who are artists and those who consider themselves not as artists are all creators. We all create things. Obviously, there's a difference. We are not like God in the sense that we don't create something from nothing. So we are not God in that sense, but we're made in the image of God. And so we create something from something that has already been created. I don't know if that's heresy. If God was like, that's like the heresy-o-meter, you know, it's like how much the light dims or gets brighter. Oh yeah. For those listening on the podcast, the light went dim as soon as I said that last phrase. So I don't know. So we, unlike God, we create something from something. Just a real quick interesting thing that I love is one of the first instances in the Bible the first instance of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit was Bezalel, and he was an artist creating artwork for the tabernacle. So the first instance of someone creating something and being filled with the Holy Spirit was an artist. You know, often we associate the Holy Spirit with evangelism and miracles and signs and wonders, which is beautiful. And yes, the Holy Spirit does those things. But we also forget that part of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives is to really fill us and empower us to be alive, fully alive in God. And part of that is creativity. And the last thing I want to mention is that art helps us often where theology can't. It provides a different voice. It's almost like we hear theology in one ear and art speaks in the other ear, and it's the mystery, it's the things we can't understand, it's the emotion, it's all these things, and it's so powerful. And so someone could speak a powerful sermon and all of a sudden you hear a song about that same thing and you're weeping and you're wondering why, you know? And there's something about art that, and something about creativity and beauty that I can't explain it, but God has given it to us. And if we don't explore this, we would be silly. It would be stupid to not explore those things. And so I believe that God has put his creativity in each of us, and we need to explore that. And so part of that is this. And also part of that creativity is it's not this sometimes this huge supernatural thing. A lot of times it's a very natural, disciplined thing. We need to make time for it and create it. If anybody tells you that you just receive something, there's people like that, and God bless them, but most people don't create that way. It's just, it takes work. You create something, you write something, and then you have to craft it. You have to work on it. And so that's what this next month is going to look like. It's going to look like a lot of inspiration and then a lot of perspiration, you know, a lot of sweat and hard work and being frustrated and saying, my art is crap, my, you know, this and that. And, but then working through it, and it's merely a response and a discipline as well. And so that's fine as well. We were talking before and just saying, man, like at the end of the time, if all we're left with is just the discipline and the hard work, that's okay. If nothing comes of it, that came out of it, and that's okay as well. You know, we've tried to grow at what we've done. So this was a little interesting quote. Someone sent me a quote from Tolkien's Return of the King today about the role of artists and musicians, but it's in the last book of the series, and it's kind of at their last feast, and they're remembering the great battle. And it says this, it says, "And all the hosts laughed and wept, and in the midst of their merriment and their tears, the clear voice of the minstrel rose like silver and gold, and all men were hushed. And he sang to them until their hearts, wounded with sweet words, overflowed, and their joy was like swords. And they passed in thought out to regions where pain and delight flow together in tears of the very wine of blessedness." And so it's this picture of all these people celebrating, and then someone begins to sing, and they're ushered back into the battlefield and reminding themselves of what they'd gone through, and it came alive to them again. And us as artists, we create things that bring emotions back to life to people. And so as we create, we remember that we affect people with those things. And it's a very powerful thing, and we need to carry that with a lot of, I don't know, understanding of the weight of the giftings, you know? And so Pete Gregg said this. He described the artist's work as scattering heaven lavishly. Scattering heaven lavishly, you know, and we do that in all of art. We do that in manual labor, you know, and in hard, difficult times, but also we see heaven around us, and we scatter it as we create beautiful things. Why art and community? Artists are usually pretty individualistic and pretty self-focused in as far as their art. They don't want to show it to a ton of people. It's part of their process. And so I felt funny even sending out an email to a bunch of artists saying, "Let's create together, guys. Doesn't that sound fun?" And it's like, that sounds awkward is what it sounds, you know. Why would any artist want to do that, you know? One example that I will say that almost reflects some of what I'm trying to do here with the Sermon on the Mount, and I just remembered it right now, was Ryan Walker does the Canvas show, and he gives out a ton of Vans shoes to a bunch of artists, and they paint on them. And so you see tons of representations. They're all Vans, you know, but you see beautiful different expressions of people's personality and beauty and all that. And so really what we're trying to do is saying we're trying to invite people in to be on one common ground, basically, which is the Sermon on the Mount, and say we as a community want to respond. Why as a community? Because God has called us to be a community together. I know that God is a Trinitarian God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is communal in nature. He has called us to be communal. If you are a Christian, you are called to be in community. You are a part of the church. Whether you're in a church or not, you are part of the church. Regardless, you are in community. And so my question really was, how do I call artists together? I want to remind people, and you know, Shannon or different people that have been here for a lot longer than I have, you could probably tell me more about this, but even the history of the back room here was a history of artists and community trying to do things together. And Josh Banner, who's up in Michigan now, he helped facilitate that. It was a lot of community within artists. And there's something beautiful when artists learn from each other and try to grow together. There's also something really beautiful about accountability and people fighting for things together. You know, even someone said maybe a better word for accountability is vulnerability, us being vulnerable with each other and getting to know each other. There's a lot of fear involved with art, insecurities. Some of the most prideful people are also sometimes the most insecure, and they're all coming from the same place. And so what better way to love one another than create together and learn from each other and hear people's thoughts on our songs, on on our paintings, on our sculptures, you name it, you know. And so I think there's something really beautiful about a people fighting for those things together. It takes working out. I sent this out in an email, and I just want to read it again because I think it really reflects what I'm trying to say about the power of artists creating in community for a community around them. And basically, this was a story about Vaclav Havel. I don't even know how to say him, but he was the president of the Czech Republic, and he was a playwright. And he was asked how the revolution to overthrow communism in the Czech Republic was bloodless and yet had experienced real staying power. So they're saying, how the heck did you do it? You know, usually communism can only be overthrown by violence and this and that. And this is what he replied. He said, "We had our parallel society, and in that parallel society, we wrote our plays and sang our songs and read our poems until we knew the truth so well that we could go out into the streets of Prague and say, 'We don't believe your lies anymore.' And communism had to fall." And so as we create, we're telling a story. You know, we're telling each other a story of a greater story. And we're learning about that, and we create in response to it. And we're learning to describe truth and beauty in art. And so I'm really excited about that and the power of community in art. And it's going to be a real challenging thing as well, because most people are very used to you know, working on things themselves. But all right. Why the Sermon on the Mount? Because it's Jesus's main teaching. If we claim to be Christ followers, then what better place could we start than his main teaching? And what better place to explore, you know, and learn from than his main teaching? It's his call to a new way of living for us, you know. And we did a series on the fall, like I mentioned, but I really felt like we should keep on wrestling with it. And so just keep engaging with it and try to respond to it. And I sent out this quote as well, but I'm going to keep mentioning them just because I think they're so powerful. But this is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "Getting Back to Your Roots, Delia." Woot, woot. But he wrote his brother a letter on January 14th, 1935, a few years ago. But he said this. He said, "The restoration of the church will surely come from a sort of new monasticism, which has in common with the old only the uncompromising attitude of a life lived according to the Sermon on the Mount in the following of Christ. I believe it is now time to call people to do this." And I believe the same thing. I believe it's time to call the artists to respond to the Sermon on the Mount and create. And I believe that it's going to be powerful. And just for me, even wrestling with it and meditating on it, it's been so fun and helpful and hard. Just reading it the other day, I was so convicted by that passage where it just says, if you've heard it said, "Do not murder. But I say to you, don't be angry. And if you are angry with your brother, go make it right. If you come to the altar with your sacrifice, leave your sacrifice at the altar. Go make things right. And then come back and offer your sacrifice. Are you joking me? What kind of value do you think God puts on human relationships?" You know, it's like, it's crazy, the stuff that he's calling to. And by crazy, I mean beautiful, you know. And so I've been so challenged by it and reading it, and I'll get into some more things, but I loved the story of Shane Claiborne. Has anybody heard of Shane Claiborne? Irresistible Revolution. He calls himself an ordinary radical. He lives out in Philadelphia, and he's part of a kind of a new monastic movement, and they live together they move into broken down parts of Philadelphia and try to help restore the neighborhoods. And he went to one of the main like youth leader conferences. I think it was like the National Youth Leaders, and I think Jay Smith, drummer here, he went to it, and he said he was there, and he got there, and he got up in front of people, and then he said, "You know, I love this place because they let me do whatever I want," and then he does a backflip, you know, and then everyone's like, woo, you know, he's like, yeah, it's awesome. You know, he's like, really, they do let me do anything I want. And he pulls out this torch and he like blows fire, you know, and everyone's like, woo, you know, and then he opens up to Matthew 5. He opens up the Bible and he just reads straight out of Matthew 5 through 7, reads the Sermon on the Mount, closes the Bible, and then walks off the stage. And then, like, I think, like, three youth pastors stood up, like, standing ovation, and everyone else was like, what the heck? You know, what's he trying to say? You know, like, we're saying we're not teaching the Word of God, you know? But what if we really took Jesus' words as God's words to us, you know? There's a little kind of phrase that I heard described as red letter people. Red letters representing the words of Jesus. What if we were a red letter people that lived the red letters out in our lives? And so this Sermon on the Mount project is an attempt for us to dig in deeper to those red words, to those red letters, and really ingest them, digest them, and then create something in response to them. And so some of that creation might be from the initial, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's calling me to that, or to the living out of these things. And we say, I need to create something in response to the effects of this that I see in my life. Does that make any sense? Yes. Awesome. There's so much in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll mention a couple things. If you guys take time to study, I was studying it this morning. There's so much in the history of the Sermon on the Mount, but then also in the words on the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll mention a couple, but one was just the parallels between Jesus and Moses in Matthew. And just there's five main teachings in the book of Matthew, kind of paralleling to the five books of Moses, like the Torah. Moses ascended the hill, Mount Sinai, to receive the law from God. The disciples ascended the mountain to receive this new law from Jesus, this new ethics. Jesus affirmed traditional beliefs, but also brought new things into light. He brought the old law into new light. He says, you've heard it said, do not murder. One of the Ten Commandments said, but I say to you, you know, don't be angry. And if you are angry, you know, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you. And so he's redefining some of these things, and he's taking it from the outward appearance into the inward attitudes. And so it's huge, and really saying that Jesus is greater than Moses, than the per se the forefather, one of the founding fathers of the Jewish faith, and a huge figure for them. But there's so much in there. Just even learning about Jesus sitting down as a rabbi, as a teacher, that's what the teachers of the day would do. And so he sat down, and then these people came to learn from him. And then in the words, on the Sermon on the Mount, I was reading one commentary that said that the, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, you know, and Dustin, you could probably tell me better than this. But really, that the root of the word for like poem, like for peacemakers, like creators of peace, you know, shalom, is really at the heart of it's the heart of it is almost poets of peace, like creators of peace. Blessed are those who create peace. And not just peace in the sense of like, you know, but like the idea of peace translated into Hebrew is really this idea of shalom, this wholeness, this whole, the world made right again, when everything is operating as it should, you know, the picture in Revelation 21 that we see of restored wholeness. And that's a picture of shalom throughout the Old Testament that we hear about. And then Jesus saying, blessed are the peacemakers, the poets of peace, the creators of peace, those who create those things. And so it's not this passive thing. A lot of times we can hear peacemakers and we can think, oh, those are the wusses. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, Jesus is saying these peacemakers are those who go to great lengths to see God's will be done on earth. I can keep going, but I'll stop there. Any questions? All right. How about this? I'm going to talk a bit about, before I talk about how we're going to do tonight, I'm just going to talk about how we're going to create over this next month. And before I start that, I do want to throw out something. I just want to say this. This is very interesting to try to organize for people because of this. I don't want to stifle creativity. So I don't want to like kind of come up to it and just be like, how are you creating? How's it going? How's it going? You know what I mean? Is everybody creating? You know what I mean? Like, let's go, let's go, let's go. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to force anything. At the same time, I don't want to be so hands off that the reality of out of sight, out of mind is very true. If no one bothers me, I'm not going to do it. If the teacher at the beginning of the semester doesn't give me a syllabus and kind of deadlines, I won't turn things in. And so really what I'm trying to do is basically help you guys saying, hey, we have a deadline. May 3rd, we're going to do an art show here. That's the deadline. Is that too soon? I don't know. We'll find out. But that's the joy of trying things, you know. I want to encourage you to respond however you best see fit. And so I send out emails, but I can't force you to create. And so what I encourage you to do is to find ways to encourage yourself. I just wanted to say that just so that you guys know. I mean, it's a real difficult balance for me to even find as I call people to this, because I know what it's like to get emails and like phone calls and stuff. And it's kind of like, all right, dude, I don't want to do this, or, you know, like back off, give me a little space. And so I'm trying to walk that tension. So I ask for grace from you, as I try to walk this out with you. As far as what we are looking for, you know, a lot of people are like, what exactly are you looking for? I mean, what would really the focus be, you know? And I'm kind of like, what do you got? Let's talk about it. You know, let's figure it out. I don't know. Example, I had one person come up to me and say, I'm a tap dancer. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. I mean, what, describe that gifting. You know, he's like, well, I can create taps too, like music. And then also I can do percussive stuff, you know, on like, and I'm like, that sounds awesome. I don't know how we're going to incorporate it, but let's try it, you know? I don't know what giftings you feel like you have, but I did want to give a couple examples. And really what I'm asking you guys to do is merely respond to the Sermon on the Mount the best you see fit. I'm going to give a couple examples. I'll mention a few. Delia, if you guys have seen the sanctuary, if you saw a couple windows on the side for the Lord's Prayer, we did a prayer and worship thing on the Lord's Prayer. We focused on the Lord's Prayer one Sunday, and she created these windows in response, and it has the Lord's Prayer on it. And she, you know, what material did you use on it? Plaster carved out, and then fabric on the back, like a red fabric, and then she shines light on it from the back. And she had these windows. And really the idea of prayer is it offers us these, you know, these insights, you know what I mean? Like, and so she, her vision for that was saying, how can I describe prayer? Well, these windows would be really cool to do that by. And so she created it, and I think it's beautiful, you know? And so that's how Delia responded to the Lord's Prayer, you know? That's how she did it, you know? I'm probably not gifted enough to do that, like with windows and, you know, plaster. I mean, I'd be in trouble, you know? That same Sunday, I'll mention this. Kelsey, you sang it, but I wrote a song off of the Yours is the Kingdom. You know, it's like the ending. Really, it's a part of the Lord's Prayer that is traditionally included in the Lord's Prayer, even though it's not there in the original, like, manuscripts. But it says, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's kind of what people would always say after the Lord's Prayer. And so I'd always heard kind of stuff on the initial, like, you know, stuff, but I was like, I've never heard anybody kind of write about that. So that'd be fun to write about. So I just made a melody, you know, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then we had been throwing out a lot of terms as far as like what our prayers were for our church. And a lot of it had to do with neighborhoods and the city. So I was like, why don't I just mention the word neighborhood? Why don't we have a Mr. Rogers worship song? You know, like, I want the neighborhood in a song. So I just basically said, you know, after that it says forever and ever, amen. Like, and the amen meaning let it be done, let it be so, like, yes. And so I said, so let it be done, you know, here in our hearts. Let it be so here in our midst. Let it be done here in our church, in our families, our cities, our neighborhoods, you know? And yours is the kingdom. And so I wrote that response to that. And, you know, it's all right. It's not the best song in the world. It's not the worst song, but it worked, you know? And we did it on Sunday, and yeah. Can we show, hey Ken, can we show the photos? And then Sam, why don't you, can we use the wireless mic right now?
All right.
Hello?
Here, we're going to have Sam Lamb talk about her. Is that working?
Hello? Yeah. Oh, it's working. Okay. Yes, well, do you want me to talk about the series real briefly? Well, I just completed a series. It's called The Zee, the Surge, and the Seamstress, a story about salt and morning light. And really, before we started even speaking about it at church, I was very surprised to find out before we did the whole 3 or so months of going through the Sermon on the Mount during services, that I already started this series, and I had been really inspired by just the whole vision of the salt and light, and kept on having just dreams about it and just words, and it was so good. But I just discovered that was going to be my next series, and I kind of dove into that and started sketching out ideas based on a seamstress. And her name is Astoria, and named after a town in just a coastal town, and a fisherman named Liam. And Astoria is the embodiment of morning light, and Liam was salt. But so I just went through just a lot of different ideas and started sketching them out and created this whole series based around wooden spools and thread and the whole process of creation. And so... nice. For all you podcast people up there, our local comedian Quinn just cracked one. A really good one. A really great one. So, but yes, and really briefly, I was just thinking in my chair, and I've been thinking about it all day. Talked briefly about it with some people earlier too, and I just wanted to very quickly talk about just inspiration in general. And how amazing it really is, and the root of worship, it really is just inspiration in general, and just spreading joy and finding joy. And so I just wanted to just, when you get into your places of creativity, whether it's music, 2D, 3D, just loving people, just really think about inspiration in general, and just contemplate over that. So, but it was a very interesting process. Going through the salt and light, because I find in my life I was just more of sugar than salt and a lot of things. And so I think it was really good also going through it, just for me in general. So, yeah. Yay. But those, and I have a few pieces I'll pass around from my little sewing basket over there.
That was a whole series based off of like salt and light, you know, and it was what I want you guys to observe is that, you know, there's not like a bunch of crosses in the picture, you know, and like angels and things like that, like, which it's just like this is, I mean, it has to do with creation, you know what I mean? And we see all those things in it, and even I think the needle and the thread symbolizing God's creativeness, and we can see his handiwork around us, and yes, keep your eyes open. And even example, like when it says, you know, you are salt of the earth, you know, and you've heard a ton of sermons on it, but, or maybe you have or haven't, but like the idea of salt and what does salt do? It brings out this, like the subtleties of flavor, you know, and so we begin to point out God in creation to others, you know what I mean, and all these things. And so as salt, we point out subtle things, but that are beautiful things. And so I think photography is a great way to do that. And so that was Sam's response to it. Ken, can you play the song that's the iTunes song that Jamie... And by the way, I'm not doing this to glorify any one person's work. I'm trying to give you guys ideas and show you guys the diversity of work, you know, that can be done. But and Jamie, it's all right for me to play. Yeah, but Jamie wrote a song basically about a person coming alive, you know, and that as you see someone alive and he goes, "You are the kingdom." Like, we see the kingdom of God in people. And so that was the idea of the song. I mean, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I mean, but the imagery speaks for itself, but it's not this hardcore, like, worship song, like, that you're like, oh, yeah, like, that's, we're going to sing that. And it's not this corporate worship song. So play it. That's all right. You want to listen to it more? That's cool. Just kidding. I just wanted to show you guys a glimpse of that song, you know, of just this idea of like, I guess God doesn't like your song, bro. I'm sorry. The light just went out again. No, but that song that, and can we take the pictures off? Not because we don't like them, but... the beautiful rocks are back. but like the idea that the love, I mean, I love that song, that just because it's, everyone can associate with the idea of waking up and looking outside the window, but then seeing someone truly coming alive and the kingdom of God and people. And that's really the idea throughout the Sermon on the Mount, is the idea of a people becoming alive. We talked about the shalom of God, but us living in that peace, but also the joy and becoming alive again. And that's what Jesus was calling a new people to be, set apart, that we would be extensions of his kingdom on earth. And so that was a song that I think it's a beautiful melody, bro. And it's really good. And so, oh, well, Ryan Walker isn't here. He's playing up in Tulsa tonight with his band MLO. But he gave me a song on Monday, and he told me, he's like, I've probably written about 14 songs. Like, I've tried to write 14. I've tried to write songs, but I've probably written about, I think he said 14, but I tried to write them about the Sermon on the Mount, but then they ended up being about other things. And, but he told me about one song that he was trying to, you know, it says, you know, he took that one passage. I'm trying to give you guys examples, by the way, but he heard the passage about, you know, like, you don't hide a light under a bushel, you know? And so he described the story of this person that's got like five precious stones in their pocket. And, oh, well, it's just, he was developing this whole idea, and he said it ended up becoming something totally different. But, and then he ended up reading the message, that, you know, like the Eugene Peterson kind of translation / interpretation commentary on the Bible. And he read through that and then wrote kind of like a worship, really it was like a worship song. And it was really cool. And so but that was him meditating on just something, finding some way. And so I also was talking to Don Schreffler, and he mentioned that Wendy, his wife, she got an email on the Sermon on the Mount, and then just opened up Sermon on the Mount, read through it, and then wrote a poem in response to it, you know? And I guess she's not, she doesn't want anybody to see it, but I'm trying to convince Dawn to work his magic with Wendy so that we can read it. Really what I want to encourage you guys to do over these next, you know, this next month or month and a week or whatever it is pick up commentaries and books, read the Sermon on the Mount over and over again. I brought a bunch of books here, just some of the things I've been reading through. And obviously I'm not going to read all of them, you know what I mean? But like, I'm trying to stir things up, like fuel. And so I also wanted to mention this, that for whoever feels like they want to do that, what I'm going to try to do over the next 30 days, like building up into the Sermon on the Mount deal, is read the Sermon on the Mount once a day. It doesn't take very long to read. I found on iTunes you can download Charlton Heston. He's got a reading on the Sermon on the Mount that I want to download. So that's on iTunes. But if you don't enjoy reading, go get it online. You know what I mean? Like download that, listen to it. You know, you could, I think it was like 7 minutes. It only took about 7 minutes for him to read through the whole Sermon on the Mount. And so I encourage you guys to find ways to listen to it. Also read different versions of the Bible. I mean, Ryan was reading through the Message. I've read through a couple different versions, but continue to spark that. Read different, they describe things in different ways. Things stand out differently. Meditate on a certain passage. Take time to explore a passage, really sit on it, chew on it. The idea of meditating is the idea of lingering and sitting on something. And so try doing that. For those who want to, for 30 days, I'm going to try to do it. And so maybe mention to someone, say, hey, let's try it. And it seems like a lot. And I know we get caught up, but at the same time, I think it would be a real beautiful thing. And I think we begin to notice different things about it. And we get familiar. And then, you know, you're forced to deal with certain part of the passages that you don't understand. And so I remember even talking to a couple of people about the oaths part. It says, don't make oaths. You know, you've heard it said, la, la, la. You know, you shall fulfill your oaths before God. But I tell you, don't make an oath before God was in heaven and on earth, and let your yes be yes and your no be no. Well, okay, I can understand that. What's this whole idea of oath making and all that stuff? And so it forced me to study it and go learn more about it, you know? And so I think there's something real beautiful about this whole process. So for those who want to, for the next 30 days, also if you want, all the Bridgeway podcasts are up as far as like the Sermon on the Mount stuff. So go download the Sermon on the Mount podcast for the Sermon on the Mount teachings and listen to those. I know that I listened to Lance's sermon on salt and light one Sunday, and then I at the end of it, like I wrote a couple lyrics down while he was talking, and then I was going to go lead worship down in Norman Community after that. And he was going to go down there and share on the salt and light again. And I wrote a song like that afternoon. And then I pretty much finished it. And then I wrote the bridge while we were there. And then we played it. And it was for the response time. And it was like, well, those, and people said, man, those lyrics really worked well with his message, you know? And it was like, well, yeah. But just respond. And so, what else? I was going to mention this, and I mentioned this earlier. It's, you're going to have to discipline yourselves. And so it's going to mean carving out time, and it's going to mean saying for an hour here, I'm just going to focus in on this. You know, I'm going to try to do that. And so it's going to mean saying no to other things. But it, sometimes if you have a calendar or some form of anything, just write in the time saying on this day, you know, or this time I'm going to do this, you know? And then maybe get together with someone else during that time so you guys can hold each other accountable to meet on that time. I want to mention this too, practically spread the word to your friends. If any of you guys would like to help facilitate stuff here, with other artists, if you feel like you'd love to kind of stay in touch with other artists, We'd love for you to help facilitate some of these art forms. And also, I wanted to mention this, that also for those of you who are in a part of town, an area of town that you love, and there's some artists there that you love to create with, facilitate that with your friends. It doesn't have to be all the same art form, but just say, hey, we're going to do a little deal. And so I'd love to get together with Chris and Shannon and get a little group of people in Mesta Park. We live a street away from each other. Get you, Lindsay. Get Anna. I mean, Jonathan. We could get a little community of all of us. I mean, how many? There's a ton of us here, actually. I started pointing out. I'm like, man, there's a bunch of us. You know, you guys are just up the street from us. So, I mean, yeah, hi, everyone. Half of you here can come over to my house. But if you'd be interested in doing stuff like that, like example, like even with like the OC crew, I know there's a ton of people up there that, you know, just doing one of these, like up there, just saying, hey, we're going to have five people over. We're going to read through the Sermon on the Mount together. We're going to just pray. And then we're going to try to create, you know. And I think that would be beautiful. So spread the word to friends. Create in community with other people. Create individually. Just do it. You know, whatever way you do it the best, go do it. What was that? I was getting down there. On Saturday, Delia is going to be opening up the back room here this Saturday from 1 to 5. And so if you want to come up and create and just be around people and just discipline, if you can only come for an hour, come for an hour. But if you want to come up here, come create. And it's a time that you can block out just to kind of force yourself and be disciplined to create. So that's this Saturday from 1 to 5. Awesome. We do have the sign-up sheet, so if you do want to facilitate stuff, they're in the back right there. But that's that. As far as art forms, I mean, the list goes on and on, but I mean, music, photography, dance, poetry, mixed media, painting, installation, sculpture, film. I mean, jewelry. I was even thinking about, like, culinary stuff. I'm down. Bring the food. If you're a florist, bring the lilies of the field. I don't know. No, I was, like, really thinking about that, actually, because I was like, I mean, like, you know, we read about the lilies of the field, but we're not, you know what I mean, like, actually really thinking about, I mean, oh, that's cool, you know. But, like, I was thinking, I'm like, that'd be awesome to have some lilies around and, like, create a little, I don't know. I don't even know what that would look like. Could be bad or could be good. I don't know. Shannon said it's all-inclusive. It's great, and it allows for people that what? Don't always feel creative to be... To be creative, yes. So, yes. All right. Any questions? I tried to kind of share as much as I could about all this stuff. But any questions or comments or whatever? Hi, guys. Woot, woot. No. Welcome. Any questions? All right. Cool. Well, what I did want to do is just you guys are here for the end. Well, not the end piece. No. Like we're gonna read the Sermon on the Mount now together. So you're here. You made it here just in time. What I wanted to do was just spend a little bit of time before we read. I'm going to have a couple people. I'm going to read the first chapter, Matthew 5, and then I'm going to have a couple other people read the following passages after this. But however you want to engage. But before we do read, I want to take a little bit of time and just acknowledge, number one, that it's only God's Spirit that can reveal the words of God to us, that we can't understand on our own strength, our own abilities, but we need the Holy Spirit to reveal God to us, to reveal the Father to us, the Son. And so I'm gonna pray and ask for God to open our eyes. Almost real similar, and I want to encourage you guys to almost visualize, not in a weird way, but almost picture you guys climbing this mountain to hear from Jesus, you know, and picture yourself in the hills, you know, in Israel, climbing this mountain. And it probably wasn't like a super easy thing, you know, but climbing up this mountain to hear Jesus speak. As you hear his words, I want you to listen for phrases that stand out, words that stand out, and maybe write one down, you know, if you have a journal or a piece of paper. If you don't, get those. But really, this idea of contemplative Bible reading and studying and listening, I want to encourage you guys in that to really open your hearts. And it's the idea of not just reading and studying, but also praying as you read, you know, and saying, God, open my heart to understand these things. And so there you have it. So why don't we just kind of take the next minute or so just to quiet our hearts and just the idea of centering ourselves, saying we came in here scattered tonight, God, but we want to be whole before you, in the sense of we want to be completely focused on you. We want these words to change us and change the world around us. So let's just be in silence for the next minute or so, and then we'll start reading. We pause right now and we say, give us ears that hear. You say that your children, your sheep, hear your voice. And so we do. We trust that we do hear you and that we want to hear you. And so, God, we just ask that all the pieces inside of us that are scattered, God, we ask that we would just be completely focused wholly on you right now. And we do, just in our hearts, we picture us climbing that mountainside with you to hear from you, because we want to know your voice, because we want to know your teaching. And we just ask that these words would pierce our hearts. These words would change our lives, God. And we just ask that somehow we'd be able to respond appropriately to these things, obviously in art, but especially in our lives. And so help us, Spirit, reveal the words of Jesus to us. And we say that our brains can only go so far. So reveal things, reveal truth to us. And I pray that you would highlight phrases and sentences and passages in this that we could come back to and respond to. Matthew 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up to a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep in babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it would not be as obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth and rust do not destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you will drink, or what about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Were there little things, that stood out to you guys? I'm trying to get a whole discussion thing going on right now. As everything was read, I was kind of overwhelmed. I don't know if you guys, because there's so much in there, you know what I mean? And so, obviously, in this reading, I'd encourage taking also by chunks as well, not just reading the whole, but taking time to really sit with individual passages that are standing out to you. But were there any phrases that stood out to you guys or anything?
I'm a conceptualizer. I love I'm a writer. That's the other part of it, and I'm very kind of quick start in my thinking. So as I was sitting there, very overwhelmed. There's so much going on in that passage that just is so deep and so good, and you have to know the context of it and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff that just kind of threw that I was scribbling down over there. So my thought is, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to do it. I don't think you do either, and that's great. But, man, I saw so many things that you could do, like film-wise. If somebody's doing a song and somebody has some visual art, somebody has some film experience that can do, take that song that they've written and spend a week before the deal and do a visual deal on the screen as it's playing on. And, oh, man, all the images you can put in that song. And then I saw a tree that somebody could, with some type of artistic ability or creating, like as far as architecture, design, whatever, could build a tree that on one side is the good fruit, on the other side is the bad fruit, just wilted and withered and gone, and the other side is flourishing and doing well. And so I'm just sitting there just thinking, man, I want to hear everybody else's ideas, because something is going to hit a chord in somebody who's going to go out and create it. And that's what's so beautiful.
And I got more, but that's just...
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know how this thing's supposed to go either. But does anybody else have any thoughts, things that struck them? Yeah, come on up.
It was just one part, like the part where it said, to him who seeks, finds. Like within this process, I found that sentence really significant, because for me personally, like I'm at a point where I'm like, I'm an artist, but I don't know what that, like, what to do, I guess, like art-wise, and I kind of came here thinking, I'm just going to do this, but I'm not really planning on anything significant coming out of it, just to not put pressure on myself, you know, but within this, like, well, what's my next direction as an artist, and then just that's been my thought, and then to hear, like, to him who seeks, finds, like, what an encouragement that is for people who create, you know, like, and so within this, like, to him who seeks, finds, I don't know, I just thought that was a really profound, like, sentence.
Anyone else? Yeah, yeah, Darcy.
Kind of in the same area as the bad fruit of what is bad fruit. I mean, this sounds so funny, but just this week I bought a pineapple and I cut it up and I gave it to the boys and me, and we all took a bite and went, ugh. Like, it just didn't taste good. And so how do you portray that? Like, I can have fruit that looks bad, but here's a fruit that looked good, but it wasn't good. So what's bad fruit?
Sam, Eric. Can you come up? Yeah.
Let's play a beat. I don't know. I was talking about falling, and I wrote this quick little thing. It says, not falling, but falling, and saying yes when it means yes, and no to no, and just elaborating on that. And then going back to doors. I think if you're having a hard time just finding something to create on, doors. I really enjoy doors, and they could be great symbolism and lots of fun things with that, but just something. I'm going to go find a door now. So.
Well, we're recording it for those who are at home.
I just had a thought more actually on the structure of it rather than content. The whole idea of collaboration is something that's really in my heart, and I'm a collaborative artist, not much like a lot of visual artists where it's like you and your thoughts and you create out of that, but more of a performing artist and a filmmaker. So I would love to get with a group of people if you feel like, you know, that you want to create something together. I know the idea of this is that we're all creating different art forms, but I think also part of the collaboration is that we each have a piece of the puzzle, and that's, I don't know, I just love the idea of people coming together. So I don't know if anybody has that kind of hit your heart that you want to create together. I'm down. So anyway, that's just that.
Thank you. I just want to encourage people who aren't sure, like specifically visual arts, painters, drawers, or like whatever you can put on something to look at, and maybe there's colors on it. If you are in college like we are, or if you don't know what to put it on and don't want to have it look like everything you've seen before. I just want to say that you can put art on anything, and you don't have to spend any money to do it. You can find like a piece of something broken and it'll probably make the thing all that more awesome. Or like a piece of cardboard or some trash, like, or something you found. I just want to encourage people who like to collect things. I feel like I should say that. I don't collect things really, but if you do, you can make art out of it too.
Well, I feel like I have like 20 things going through my head, which is fairly typical, but I was just, you know, I don't know. I guess I typically feel the need to confess my rebelliousness. So, and I kind of talked about this with Chris Clark earlier, like my husband had to push me and challenge me to participate because I am pretty selfish sometimes with my music, and it's been a real challenge and discipline to allow people to participate in songwriting with me. So even when you were asking for ideas, I could feel myself like, I'm not sharing what I have written down here. This is mine. And, you know, obviously that's pretty arrogant. But so I'm kind of challenging myself, like, when people come over to the house or we come to your house, I was like, come to our house and we'll have breakfast. But to share your stuff, like, I know it's frightening, and not just in the sense that, like, oh, you think your stuff's not good, but is somebody going to try to put their input into my stuff? Well, if we're going to do this in community, then it's good to challenge each other. And, you know, being the most prideful of the prideful when it comes to songwriting, it's a good thing. And, I've had some experience with, as Chris Clark and Jamie can tell you, with a band bringing my songs to a band and saying, please help me, was a very scary thing. It's also been extremely beneficial, and I think it could be really beneficial in this instance. So, you know, I can only speak from a songwriting stance because I'm not really good at anything else. So, but I think that would be a good thing.
Anyone else have any thoughts? I mean, and obviously, I know that. Yeah, go for it.
Mike. Sorry. I was just going to just say, what was standing out to me is usually what stands out to me is some of the hard stuff that's in here. There's lots of, like you said earlier, there's lots of things that just don't make sense or just seem really hard to get myself to do. And trying to, for me, it seems like a great idea to try to, put flesh on it and, you know, try to make it, you know, visible somehow. But anyway, that's what kind of stands out to me, some of that hard stuff.
On that note of hard stuff, I found myself immediately distracted as we started reading Sermon on the Mount. But one of the things that's continually been an image in my head is when Jesus said, you've heard it said that those who commit murder are guilty before the court, but I say those of you who are angry with your brother are guilty in front of that same court. And I've had a few things in just my own daily life where I've really tried to examine that. What does that mean? Am I carrying anger towards brothers and sisters? But just tonight, as we were sitting, I just had this image of, and it could have been myself or somebody else, but just a person with a bag slung over their shoulder, and there was a body in it, and like equal to murdering this person that you stood before and held anger towards. And so it just had this real, like, kind of dramatic and almost gruesome image of a body just being in a bag, like thrown over a shoulder, and just kind of how intense that is. And so I don't know, just along the lines of like the hard stuff, I just encourage people that there might be some like real difficult imagery that comes out of this, and I think it could be valuable to people that haven't heard these truths and maybe haven't heard Jesus's teachings. So yeah. And I'm definitely not an artist like by means of drawing, but I sketched out this deal, and so if that like interests anybody, then I'd be happy to pass that on. So
just kind of to dovetail on that too is, there's a chapter in The Magician's Nephew, and it's towards, well, not a chapter, but it's a part, if you guys have read that, where one of the kids, they hit this silver bell or something like that, and it in effect makes the witch, who they don't realize is a witch in the beginning, slowly come to life, who's been like frozen for who knows how long. I just kind of had that picture in my mind about Jesus standing in front of these crowds and just thumping this ginormous gong. And the effect that happens is that people just kind of like begin to come alive. And I think the result that you see over the next thousands of years and what every generation, every person goes through when they come in contact with Jesus is that they begin to see those, like what you're talking about, those body bags on their shoulders of being angry at someone, or they begin to see themselves. It's like Jesus superimposed truth into this environment that we were never aware of until he comes on the scene. But something that's been swirling in my head is where he gets to in Matthew 11:28, where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," and he has this exchange of yokes. And so just what you're talking about there, like how cool, like he's a master knowing that he is waking people up to this, but he's leading them to a point of saying, okay, here you are weighted down with these body bags. Now let me take those body bags off your shoulder and receive my yoke and my burden that is light and easy to carry. So to bend that into an artistic thing, honestly, I just, the word superimposed kept coming to mind. And Jeremy, I was thinking of you. Just, he mentioned, I don't know if it was you, he mentioned somebody talking about tap. And it was, I'm a numbers guy, and I'm sure you are too, just when it comes down to it. And just that idea of superimposed, like maybe one rhythm on top of another or something like that, just to illustrate what Jesus did with us. Like we're in a rut, and then he comes and kind of jostles us out of it. Just an idea.
Anyone else? I mean, I know that there's been thoughts going on, but does anyone else want to share? Awesome. I'll mention a couple other things. I'll mention this, that one thing that had stood out to me earlier was the, you've heard it said this, and but I say to you, like kind of this, and I wrote a song from it probably like a week or two ago out of that, and just that phrase kept coming to my mind, like, but I say to you, you know, Jesus reinterpreting and kind of, you know, like bringing more clarity onto those things. And and then really, like, I try to write it in a way that was helpful, you know what I mean, for me to understand it. And then the chorus really was a response, you know what I mean, to that. Like, oh my gosh, like, you're calling me to a whole new way of living, you know. And it's so contrary to this world in which we're living, and to unlearn the learn and to dance to a brand new rhythm, and finally learn what it means to be human, you know, that gong goes out and brings kind of true humanity, restoring us back to that sense of calling. I want to mention this too. Dustin had sent me like a instrumental song, you know what I mean? So for those of you who say, well, I write music, but I don't have lyrics or whatever, there's opportunity for some of that stuff, you know. A few of you write poetry, so Jason or whoever, we talked even about trying to write music based around poetry, you know what I mean, to have music played in the background, you know what I mean, for, and so it's not just like find an instrumental track and then play it while we do poetry, but let's try to write music to for poetry, you know. And so there's a lot of ideas here. We had talked even potentially about trying to do a new mural back there, you know what I mean, like just a new painting, you know. And so if anybody has energy for that and excitement for that, let me know. We can talk about ways of doing that. Dustin, you'd even mention like the what's the tri thing called? What is it? Triptych. Yeah, do you want to describe that real quick? Is that all right?
Hey, you all right? I don't want to scare anybody if I stand up. yeah, I mean, people who have studied like history of art or any kind of art, or probably anybody who's ever had a humanities class, has seen like medieval triptychs and the, you know, three paneled things, the tri. I don't know what the tick is for, but it's a, and it just basically tells a story, or is three different meditations on one little theme. And you know, that may be, as I'm looking at it, I was like, oh yeah, there's three of them, and then there's actually four of them. And so that may or may not work for that, but even in an art idea or thinking of designing, you know, stations, you know, how in traditions there are stations of the cross that are little journeys for those who are like 3D artists or even visual artists of any kind, making almost stations of the Sermon on the Mount, they can have different, and that could be something that can be brought together from quite a few different people and kind of pull things together and go, oh yeah, that would work if somebody has this station dealing with maybe the Lord's Prayer and this one dealing with the image of the fruit. And yeah, so I think that was it. Okay.
Awesome. And I mean, even something I was thinking of is like even at the beginning where it just describes people climbing the mountain to hear Jesus' words, I'd love to write a musical piece based off of that, you know what I mean? Just the prayer of Jesus, you know, like we want to hear you speak. And then the ending of just saying the crowds were amazed, almost like a response to the end of it. I have all these ideas and I don't know how they're all going to pan out in the end. But I figured I'd mention this too, but Dustin sent me the song, and then the title of the album that he had on iTunes for the instrumental song, he called it Brand New Mountain Speeches. And that the more I thought about it, I was like, that would be a super fun name for kind of the art collaborative. It's like Brand New Mountain Speeches, that each of us are kind of bringing a little piece of kind of reminding ourselves of Jesus's speech on the mountain, and then us kind of trying to bring new light to some of those things and respond to them. But we're still trying to figure out if that's going to work out. But I'd love to see each of you participating in that sense with a speech, like with whatever you feel like you're gifted with. And the last encouragement too is respond to the stuff, not just the vertical stuff, like the seemingly spiritual things, but respond to the real natural things in this passage. You know, there's vertical relationship with God that he addresses, but a lot of it he addresses our relationship with other people, and wrestle with that. You know, I love the body bag. You know, well, not love it, but like, I mean, you know, like the image of that, like the intensity of it. I love that, bro. So, I mean, just of how it affects us, that as you are angry with people, you're the one walking around with the weight, per se, of their body, you know, and we assume that, oh, well, it affects, you know, like we're, you know, oh yeah, that's, they deserve that, this rage or whatever, you know. And so, there you have it. Does anybody have any last thoughts? Anyone? Well, I'll mention a couple things before we go. One was the next, we're going to do another response night on April 10th. It's a Friday night. It's at 7 o'clock. We're not going to have dinner that night, but I wanted the first one just to kind of be, come in and hang out and stuff. That night will primarily just be us getting together. But I encourage you guys, for those who have work, bring work, come to collaborate, come to work on stuff with others, bring stuff. And so I think it'll be much more hands-on, the second one, in the sense of we'll have things to work with or ideas that we're trying to pan out and stuff. And then the other thing is tonight, if you want to stick around, we love it. Chris and Dustin both brought recording gear. And so if you brought a guitar, I have a guitar here. If you want to sit down and start trying to work on music, or if you already have stuff written, we could track some ideas tonight. And also, I'll mention this, that we're going to be doing a live recording, and Chris and Dustin will be help producing that music and all that and stuff. And so we're still trying to figure out how all that's going to pan out. And so I asked for grace on that again. I'll mention this as well. Just because you create something doesn't mean it's going to, you know what I mean, be the main thing at this art show. You know what I mean? This and that. Like, I can't guarantee all that. But we're trying to cultivate this environment of just let's be as creative as possible and facilitate these things, and let's try to figure out how to do things. And so, you know, like with the tapping thing, I love the idea of what about that superimpose? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, is that, could we do something? You know, like, I love exploring and all that. And so, and if you want to create visual art stuff, we got art supplies here. So please stick around. If you want to facilitate either an art forum and stay in touch with all the other artists in that forum and just pull those people together, let me know. But also, if you want to facilitate things in your neighborhood, obviously you can do that not by signing up. Just call people up. You know what I mean? You don't have to sign up to do that, but, you know, just go do it, you know, and awesome. But I would love it to just know that things are happening, and show people your artwork. Like, I think it would be really encouraging. I sent out probably about 5 songs to people the other day, like, and they're not all that great songs. They're songs on me on my computer, like, you know, singing them. Like, it didn't sound as good as Jamie's song, you know. It's all produced, and but like, it's just on, you know, like, and I just sent it out, and I'm like, you know, I hope, let's see what they think about these songs. And you know, if they shoot them down, it's great. I mean, like, I remember I sent one song to Chris one time, and he sent me an email back, "You can do better," and it was like. And then I'm like, dang it. No, I know. But I mean, no, but it was just like, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's all right. I mean, no, you were kind. No, but like, we know each other enough to know, like, you were just like, yeah, it doesn't feel like anything really new or like that. You know, I don't know. It was, but like, I heard him and what he was saying, you know what I mean? And no. But I mean, well, that was like, okay, that part of the story is that it was on a Saturday night, and like, I was trying to write a song for the sermon the next morning. And so I went home and I tried to write something. I sent it to Chris, and Chris was like, and so, we ended up not doing a new song that morning, but I just encourage you though. But even part of that was the honesty of, I trusted him to tell me if something was good or not, you know what I mean? And I heard, it's kind of like, you know something for the most part, you know, but like, you know, I remember we did a CD at my last church, and I had a song that I really liked that I thought was going to be on it. And all of a sudden they told me like last minute, they're like, oh yeah, we're not putting that song on there. I was like upset, you know what I mean? But there was a process of humility that went along with it. You know what I mean? That was like, you know what? It's okay that my song didn't go on there. Like, that's okay. You know, they're like, we just didn't feel like it fit with the whole thing. And so, I say create as much as you want, but also extend grace as we're trying to figure out what we can do, what we can't do, and all that. And so, so there you have it. If you have any questions, let me know, let Dilly know. But again, I'm really excited to explore. This is an exploration of scripture, of art, of community, of all these things. And so probably most of us don't have a ton of experience in this. And so it's really exciting. It's really freaky at the same time. Like, what in the world are we doing? But thanks for coming out. And so we'll be back here April 10th.
go create in your neighborhoods as well. And then, you know, Lindsay, you have an announcement as well. Yeah. Friday, April 10th. Okay, is that a Friday or a Saturday? It might be April 11th. Okay, so it's April 11th. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry, April 11th. I might have sent that out wrong on the email. Whoopsies. We could do it 10th and 11th. cool. Well, let me just pray for us and just and then whoever wants to stick around, please stick around. Let's create. Let's have fun. Oh, and then Lindsay, can you do an announcement after I pray? Thank you. We're probably going to go down to Jared Smith and Samantha Olson's art show after it's down to 6:11. But all right, Jesus, thank you so much just for your words, and let your words remain in our hearts and in our lives. I mean, we just say, would you help us unpack this? Would you help us? Thank you so much for all these people and for those that were here, those that weren't, and what you want to do and your church that you want to inspire and the city that you want to affect and love. So help us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Lindsay's got a little.
For those of you who are interested, Samantha and I and a few.